The world is going through changes. Changes happening at a speed that we have never seen before. This is leading to disruption, chaos, panic, fear, hysteria, and a turbulent economy and marketplace. How do you protect your wealth in a turbulent world? How do you invest for cash flow and alternative assets to escape the rat race in times of uncertainty? How do you decentralize yourself, your family, your community, your business, and your investments to become sovereign and escape the matrix? If you are looking for strategies, tactics, and techniques to escape the rat race and matrix, you are in the right place. My name is MC Lobsher, and this is Cashflow Ninja. This is Cashflow Ninja. I am MC Lobsher. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode and spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. If you are a regular listener or a new listener, here are five ways I can help you right now. You could go to cashflowninja.com and listen to all of my podcasts. I've recorded over 1,000 podcasts with the best minds in business and investing. You can download all of my books in which I share the best alternative asset investment niches. You can watch our free trainings on infinite banking, Midas banking, Bitcoin life insurance, strategic metals, and more. You can subscribe to my weekly newsletter, which is free, The Wealth Dojo, in which I share the best insights on alternative wealth strategies and alternative asset investing you will find anywhere. And finally, you can join our community, The Wealth Dojo, and get access to the best training, strategy, and community in the alternative wealth strategy and alternative asset investing space, period. I've got a fantastic show for you today. I'm joined by Michael Robinson, entrepreneur and investor. Michael, great to see you.
Good to see you as well. Good to reconnect. It's been, some months now since we last spoke, right?
Absolutely. And I've really enjoyed our conversations. And every time we've had a conversation, afterwards, I'm like, man, that would have been an incredible podcast for someone to listen into. So you always provide a lot of value, my friend, and I'm honored to share you with my listeners and my viewers. But for folks that are not familiar with you and your background and your journey and what you're up to these days, can you please share a little bit more with them?
Yeah, definitely. So my background is a little bit unconventional, right? I would start with, I'm originally from Jamaica and did my schooling in the States, Arlington, Virginia, DC area. Went to Virginia Tech, which was cool. But for me, school was not of interest. It wasn't until after school when I really got my start. And that was in a very unconventional approach. So essentially, my time used to be spent at the parties. I used to love partying. And one just fateful, serendipitous day, I meet a cab driver who is taking me home. I was hungover, and he and I hit it off in a cab ride home. We ended up becoming very close friends. He was 47 years my senior, so an elderly man, but I felt like I was talking to someone that was my age. At the time, I was like 28. So I later found out this was Walter Reed, and here he is. He wanted to mentor me. His family, longest consecutive living in Georgetown, D.C. since 1836. His great-grandfather built the walls around Georgetown University and 55 of the embassies throughout D.C. Walter used to be a billionaire. At 32, he owned a lateritic nickel and an antimony mine off of Chios, Greece. And here he is. He wants to now take me under his wing. He felt like his time was running out, and he wanted to leave basically all that he knew with me. And so he at the time, I wanted to do just go back to get a master's. That's what all my friends were doing. And he, rightfully so, told me we should do an apprenticeship instead. So this apprenticeship launched the Reed Robinson Asset Strategies Company, which I currently chair as well. And this was like him teaching me how to make and create out of thin air. And it all started with research. And this is where I get to learn macro trends research, get my start in macro trends research. So we started in large international infrastructure financing. The deals started at 50 billion, scaled to a couple billion. And these are all case studies for me to learn more about business. I ended up retiring from my like dead-end job as a leasing agent in Alexandria, Virginia. And Walter and I moved back to Jamaica, where he got to see a little bit of my upbringing and my home country. We had a fantastic time while we were in Jamaica. We moved to Portland, Jamaica, which is like this hidden part of Jamaica. There's two sides to Jamaica, Jamaica A and Jamaica B. Jamaica A is your Montego Bay, your Kingston, your Negril, your Ocho Rios. But then Jamaica B is where you typically find like Europeans and Jamaicans vacationing. Gorgeous place. Errol Flynn crash landed there and never left. So yeah, it was there that Walter and I started, you know, debating about the monetary policy coming from the Fed. We didn't like what we saw. I brought up Bitcoin. We started talking a little bit about, you know, Bitcoin. And he said, Mike, why don't you do a dissertation on this? Do some research on this. And presented to me. And that was when I really started researching Bitcoin, 2015. When I presented, both of us agreed this made a fantastic solution for what we saw taking place in the markets. So we started securing Bitcoin in early 2016 at the sweet spot of around $200 to $250, $250. We ended up moving back to the States, and it was then that my friend just started acting different. I couldn't make sense of it, but he wasn't feeling good, felt sick. So finally, we went to the hospital, and we discovered he had a stage 4 neuroendocrine cancer. So this was like where I had to put my big boy pants on. And I didn't know at the time, hindsight being 2020, life was just beginning for me. So I had to watch him through his death. And that's another long story. But it was around 3 weeks before he withered away, from the time of learning the diagnosis to like transitioning, which was very interesting. So after his death, I did not want to be in DC. It reminded me too much of him. So I moved to New York. And as an autodidact, just basically doubled down on Bitcoin and Ethereum. And I became like a real big believer in the two, just teaching myself the technology. And I would test my knowledge against people on Wall Street. And I saw that a lot of them weren't interested in either assets. They were more so interested in blockchain. Anytime I brought up Bitcoin or Ethereum, they'd say, no, it's not. It's not Bitcoin. It's not Ethereum. It's blockchain. And that was when I realized that was code for them not understanding what was really taking place, the significance of these asset classes. So I basically started teaching people about Bitcoin, Ethereum, and that brought me into, well, deeper into the crypto space, started acquiring equity for startups by being an advisor. And it brought me into the VC world. So had no technology background prior to this, but now here I am. I'm the co-founder and partner of Avis Lear, which is a dedicated Web3 early stage VC. And one of our portfolio companies is Oort, a decentralized AI that runs on top of a decentralized cloud, and a DPIN project. So DPIN being Decentralized Physical Infrastructure Network, which we focus on edge devices. So your smartphone, your tablet, your PC connecting to our network and being able to help us train our AI algorithm. So yes, I'm currently the foundation chairman for this composable layer one. It's a breakthrough research project out of Columbia University led by Dr. Max Lee and Dr. Sean Yang.
How do you achieve clarity, certainty, and predictability in a world economy and markets that are volatile and chaotic? How do you have confidence in an environment where change and disruption is constant? Setting up infinite banking is how you establish certainty in an uncertain world, predictability in an unpredictable world. With an infinite banking policy, you have your capital warehoused outside of the Wall Street casino, where it is guaranteed never to go down in value, and guaranteed to grow tax-free. You have guaranteed access to your capital, and you also will be able to access your capital tax-free to use to capitalize on opportunities as you come across them. Creating your own banking system with infinite banking can be your secret weapon to protect and grow wealth during turbulent times. You can watch a presentation and explore infinite banking options for you and your family at yourownbankingsystem.com. That's yourownbankingsystem.com. But one of the things that you and I discussed, and I cannot think of anyone better to have on to talk about it, is there's been this, one of the trends in crypto. There's many different trends going on this time. There's a lot of stuff going on. But one of the big ones is ordinals, right? And this new asset, kind of like asset class. I mean, I'm going to start with a blank slate here. So I'm like, is it a strategy? Is it an asset class? So a lot of folks have probably heard about this. So in the world of crypto, obviously you have your Bitcoin, you have your Ethereums, and then you have other altcoins, which people have heard of, and different types of projects, decentralized finance, DeFi was a big one. We've shared crypto cash flow strategies on this show before. We talked a little bit about NFTs. We talked a little bit about even startups in the space. Like there's a company that's doing Bitcoin life insurance. It's all on the Bitcoin standard. Let's go start with ordinals. What is ordinals? Where does this fit into this ecosystem? And how did it come about?
Very, very good question, right? Because Bitcoin itself is a bit esoteric. And I've been trying for a long time to get people interested. But it seems interest moves with the price of Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin is what, 21 million Bitcoin is supposed to be released, mined into circulation by the year 2140. And that's how most people would look at Bitcoin. It was a bit intimidating, especially at the current price point. However, Casey Rodimer, genius of a man, he created this really cool protocol. Basically just allowed you to interact with the Bitcoin network at the smallest unit of a Bitcoin, which that's called a Satoshi. So in layman's, basically 100 million Satoshis make up one Bitcoin, equivalent to 100 pennies make up a dollar. And where we used to look at 21 million Bitcoin, now we're looking at 2.1 quadrillion Satoshis, a lot less intimidating. But ordinals allowed you to inscribe data into each Satoshi, make them unique, identifiable, and tradable. And that was launched around December 2022. And the crypto community or Bitcoin community in general, which is something that I really love, started participating. I think the Bitcoin Shrooms, the NFT, went live afterwards in like February. So essentially now, let me step back a little. When you look at non-fungible tokens or digital collectibles on Ethereum, they don't really store on the Ethereum network. It's really wrapped. Your picture, your JPEG, would be wrapped in a URL and then stored separately in a decentralized cloud or even a centralized cloud. But with ordinals, you're now embedding this data in each Satoshi on chain. It's a game changer. So now you're not only buying a digital collectible or digital artifact, as Casey calls it, but you're also securing a Satoshi. So you're really investing in Bitcoin. It's a gamified approach to where you're investing in Bitcoin through these Satoshis. The community is very active. After the, I keep, it's slipping my mind, the name of the mushroom digital collectibles that launched. But I think what really took off with ordinals and inscriptions are the BRC20s, which was launched by Domo. He created the first, which was called Ordi, an ode to ordinals, ORDI. And that was a free mint in March. Don't remember the exact date. 21 million max supply, and people from across the world could basically mint until the supply was minted out. And that was really the precedent for a lot of the activity that's taking place right now on chain in Bitcoin. I think it's a game changer, because my main challenge with Bitcoin, which I love, was the intimidating price. The price point is pretty high. The average person doesn't know that you can buy fractions of a Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Right. And now we're seeing this in a more practical experience, where people are buying the Satoshis, the smallest unit of a Bitcoin. And now this is becoming normalized. There's tons of activity around it. It's actually, some argued the Bitcoin maxis, which I used to be as well, argued that it congested the chain and was really spam. However, miners are very happy because the fees that are being baked into each block, and also this is boosting the resilience of the network. So finally, I think everyone's on the same page or getting there, that this is a new potential for Bitcoin. Bitcoin, it's been around for over 15 years. And the first time in 15 years now, you actually have the fungible tokens on Bitcoin, which could lead to DeFi being created on Bitcoin, could lead to another potential Bitcoin within the Bitcoin ecosystem because of the potential institutional takeover with these Bitcoin ETFs. And it's galvanizing the community once again. There's so much innovation that is now porting over to Bitcoin. And for me, this is awesome. I was able to watch as Bitcoin's value scaled up before the Bitcoin spot ETFs because of all the activity that was taking place. And as a macro trends researcher, I like to identify opportunities before they go mainstream. So a good friend of mine told me about ordinals in March, and I started doing the research for about 2.5 weeks, just monitoring the entire space. And then I started seeing what could potentially be with just new projects launching. What was really cool is this one project called Bitmap. Bitmaps, for the first time in Bitcoin's 15 years now, you can actually claim a block and all the transactions within that block. That was launched by Bitoshi Blockamoto, I believe. Yes. So now there was a race on for a block is finished every 10 minutes on the Bitcoin chain. And every 10 minutes, we saw the community rush to claim that block, which was also congesting the network. Fees were very high. And now they are roughly around 830,000 blocks in the Bitcoin chain that are now claimable and composable. This is the potential first decentralized, non-arbitrary metaverse in crypto. Bitcoin is changing the entire, I would say, industry to more everyone. If you're not working or close to or connecting back to Bitcoin, then I think you're missing out on a large opportunity. This one's huge.
I am super excited to announce that I have launched the Cashflow Ninja Niches Book Trilogy. Three books: the 21 Best Cashflow Niches, the 21 Most Unique Cashflow Niches, and the 21 Best Cash Growth Niches. In the three books, I feature a total of 66 different alternative asset investment niches. You know what's the best part? I'm giving it all away for free. When you go to cashflowninja.com, you can download the 21 Best Cashflow Niches, the 21 Most Unique Cashflow Niches, and the 21 Best Cash Growth Niches in digital and audio format for free. If you're like me and you like physical books, you can buy all three books on Amazon. Just go to cashflowninja.com/Amazon and it'll take you to all three books. I want to thank every single listener from the bottom of my heart for riding along on this journey with me since 2016.
It definitely seems like there's a ton of innovation. And to your point, people are so focused on the price of it that when the price drops significantly after the last pullback, I call it the Super Bowl crash, because it was when all the Super Bowl ads are right after that all happened, you know, the Larry David and the FTX ones and so forth. Matt Damon challenging your manhood, you know, for not buying crypto on Super Bowl Sunday. Anyway, so people were so focused like on the price that, you know, if you just kind of saw what was happening, regardless of the price and what's going on in the markets, there was a ton of innovation still going on. So, yeah, I think that was a lesson that a lot of people learned, that if you're in an industry, it's cyclical. Every industry is very, very cyclical, Ryan. So as an investor, if you see an opportunity, it's not just going to be like an elevator ride to the top. every, you know, in on the journey, there's going to be cycles. So I just wanted to break it down. So you have the blockchain, which is the ledger, right? The for Bitcoin. Then you have Bitcoin, which is the code, which is shared and shared amongst folks. And then within the Bitcoin code, then that's where you can store the data and put the data, the ordinals in. And there's now an entire kind of almost like a sub ecosystem being created with this ordinals, with all the different things that you can do. I even saw, and I wrote this down to ask you about this. I even saw that some people were trying to build a decentralized social media, I think Zion or something, on Bitcoin. So there's a lot of interesting projects going on.
Well, there's a lot of interesting innovation taking place, especially with these open source protocols. Bitcoin's leading the charge. It has the deepest liquidity, right? It's now deemed the new asset class, obviously. And it's available for people across the world. As long as you own some Bitcoin, you can participate in the network, right? So what I'm looking at is this potential now to offset a lot of where the governments have been taking us, the direction that governments are taking us in. So a lot of the community as well believe in the proliferation of a decentralized future. Seems like our lives are most likely going to be on-chain potentially, but definitely in a new technological free or panopticon, which would be like a digital prison, right?
Right. So,
yeah, it makes sense for a decentralized social media. And what that would mean is all the people in that network get to participate in that economy. And there is no one point of failure. It's distributed amongst the community. And it would be censorship resistant, hopefully, in this decentralized rollout, right? And also synonymous, right? So currently we're seeing a major push in different countries, especially in the West, to identify people on social media, censor their conversation.
Yep. And
yeah, we're seeing that technology can solve that as well. Yeah, we can use technology for good or we can use it for bad. Bitcoin so far has been a pioneer in leading in the right direction. My concern now is the potential takeover by Wall Street, specifically the larger financial institutions. However, now with ordinals and inscriptions, there are more opportunities. Opportunities abound for sharp minds, gigabrains from across the world that lack the resources, but can actually connect to the Bitcoin chain to, you know, develop their vision of where they see or want to take the world, right? And all it takes is for people to connect with that vision and help build in real time. That's one of the things that I love about this technology space. And I must say, you know, as I shared on a recent AMA, I'm starting to view life kind of like, in the past, we would look at before Christ and after Christ. Today, I look at our experience as before COVID and post COVID. And after COVID, right, we're seeing the, I like to call it the technologification of society. Technology, yep, ubiquitous in our experience. And there's a lot of data that's being collected on us without our consent. Well, blockchain can solve this. It can help with the future that's being rolled out in real time. And a decentralized blockchain network like Bitcoin can actually add much more value than we expect down the line. So it's now evangelizing and sharing with the people the potential benefits of Bitcoin. And that's why I'm really excited about this ordinals and inscriptions being rolled out, because it now lowers the entry threshold, the entry barrier for Bitcoin, down to the smallest unit of a Bitcoin, a Satoshi.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And I definitely want to talk about the threats of the takeover. And I mean, some of the solutions that you just touched on is fantastic. And yeah, if there could be a social media on that where you can be represented on, like, obviously you doing it either synonymously or as an anon or in person. It's funny that they're trying to figure out who everyone is on social media now to get them to register for posting, you know, public content. And I'm like, is anybody familiar with the history of the United States, where you literally have founding fathers writing with pen names anonymously, basically, right, and sharing their ideas and thoughts? You know, it's just kind of, it's, if you don't know history, it's, you know, you fall for all these things, right? Going back to ordinals quick for a second. So ordinals, if you're an investor listening to this, we've got a ton of business owners and investors. And you're like, okay, I missed the boat on Bitcoin. I missed the boat on the altcoins. I missed the boat on the crypto cash flow and the crypto trading bots. I've missed a lot of boats. And when I rushed into crypto, the rug pull came after, you know, the bloodbath after Super Bowl Sunday, right? That Super Bowl. What are some of the opportunities if for just the average person listening that might have some level of knowledge, I would say, of Bitcoin and crypto, and they might have dabbled in a little bit, bought some, sent it to a wallet, sent it to cold storage, that kind of stuff. What opportunities are there for investors if they're seeing like, oh, well, this ordinals thing is really developing. How can I position myself as an investor in this little sub-ecosystem?
Well, good question. I think it's worth just, you know, dipping your toes in and watching the market for a little bit. You know, short stint. What I was really impressed with is this. Before, we typically keep Bitcoin on a centralized exchange, you know, your Coinbase, your Gemini, or you would store it on your hard wallet, your Ledger, your Treasure. But now we have hot wallets for Bitcoin, and that's actually how you access most of the markets. A hot wallet would be the equivalent of, for Ethereum, a MetaMask. For Bitcoin, you now have the same equivalent in Unisat. I'm not promoting these. However, it's good for you to take a look at them. Unisat, Xverse, Leather. There are several self-custody wallets now available for Bitcoin. And as in self-custody, you will get your 12 phrase keys, and you can now store your Bitcoin in this 12 phrase key self-custody wallet and use that wallet to access the markets. So you can mint coins into circulation from these wallets. I actually minted several bitmaps into circulation from my Unisat wallet. Update as well is purchasing these Satoshis that are embedded with data. If there is an uptick in adoption, your ROI is in Bitcoin. So for me, I love looking at the potential, what I see missing in the space, and which developer is qualified to build those out. One such builder developer that's really strong in the ecosystem is Benny the Developer, is what he goes by. And he's building out the Track Network. Website is track.network, TRAC.network. He's building out a decentralized indexer, because currently all the Satoshis that have the data embedded are indexed by centralized entities. Gotcha. Your exchanges, exactly, right? Unisat and several others. So a decentralized indexer is going to make sense. Really excited about what he's building. And that would also help with the potential of DeFi. So this is one of the first projects to actually receive VC funding from Sora VC, S-O-R-A.VC, I believe is their website. And they're now building out the Track Tap Pipe ecosystem. Tap would be for DeFi on Bitcoin, and Pipe specifically for digital collectibles on Bitcoin, all governed by the Track token. And I also like that they stick close typically to the Bitcoin narrative, 21 million max supply. And it's always a fear mint, fear launch.
Gotcha.
Until minted out. But once again, if done correctly, if your research is strong, you'll be able to secure these Satoshis under undervalued Satoshis that could end up be valued at several Bitcoins. And that's where I got, once again, lucky with my research. So that's paid off pretty well for me. Getting into Bitmaps, for instance, I minted that into circulation for $1.02 in June. By today, I believe a Bitmap is trading at $150 in Bitcoin because you can only sell in Bitcoin. Yep. And also the high for a Bitmap was $500.
Are you ready to ride the wave of success in the booming car wash industry? Tommy's Express Car Wash is the cutting-edge brand that is revolutionizing the way we clean vehicles. Demand for top-notch, state-of-the-art tunnel car wash is skyrocketing. Institutions are diving in headfirst, and the real asset investor is already a step ahead. They have a world-class operations team, and they're building a portfolio of Tommy's Express car washes that's on track to become one of the largest privately owned car wash portfolios in the United States. The margins on a stabilized Tommy's Express car wash are incredible, and accredited investors have the chance to join them on their adventure. Dave Zook, the founder and CEO of The Real Asset Investor, and his team are thrilled to share opportunities like Tommy's Car Wash with accredited investors that boost your cash flow, unlocks massive tax benefits, and get you set up for a lucrative exit just a few years from now. To learn more about the opportunities offered by The Real Asset Investor, you can reach out to them at info@therealassetinvestor.com. That's info@therealassetinvestor.com.
What are some of the downsides on that? And maybe if you want to share that and then bring it into the kind of like what's going on with Bitcoin with the takeover.
So downsides are now you've got a lot of scams coming into the space. Scammers are going to be prevalent, right? Because it's a new opportunity. Meme coins abound. So please do your research. Avoid meme coins, especially with what's taking place on Solana. Solana is another layer one that is under, I would say, or if not in the limelight at the moment because of all the meme coin activity that's taking place on Solana.
Yep.
Now, we're seeing that also on the BRC and ordinals side of things. I typically avoid because I'm an investor and I'm, you know, not speculating. Well, I guess in some aspects I am, but I'm really looking for projects that are building out a need on the network to facilitate your experience on, you know, the Bitcoin chain. So yes, I would say be careful of all the meme coins that are being launched. I think you mitigate risk if it's a fear launch, meaning you're able to mint the coins into circulation by just paying gas fees, right? Or the fees in general. Yes. So this is also very new. It's only a year old, right? And it hasn't been classified yet as an asset class. It's the equivalent of what took place with Ethereum, which Ethereum, I remember when I got into Ethereum, 2016, it was trading, sub $100. And really, Ethereum took off after the ERC-20 standard rolled out. So fungible tokens on Ethereum. We're basically mirroring the exact same experience on Ethereum, but with the benchmark chain with deeper liquidity, which is also what gets me very excited. So as you are aware, where there are opportunities, there are always going to be scammers as well. So,
and I just want to preface this too. So what I try to do on this show is bring the best minds in business and investing in the world, and it bring very interesting ideas to my listeners and my audience. This is a very unique and interesting one, and it's still early, as Michael had just said. So sometimes these are very early. So obviously, the earlier things are, the higher risk there is. But of course, with this massive risk and being early, you get to participate in massive upside, but you could also lose everything, right? So I just want to preface that. So again, beware. And Michael is a pro, as you could probably have gathered from our conversation. He lives and breathes the stuff. He immerses himself and studies hours a day and weeks and months into the stuff before he gets involved. So this isn't something where if you're listening to this and go, oh, this sounds really cool, I'm going to jump in because this is going to be the next hot thing. That is absolutely when you're going to lose everything. You're going to be one of the people that pays $1 million for a JPEG of a stoned monkey. That's a good way to lose money, right? So definitely no. So I appreciate you sharing that and the downside. And we always try to, share obviously the stuff that we're excited about, but hey, here's some things that you also need to be aware of. What's going on with the takeover and you mentioned the threat of a takeover, not necessarily the takeover, by institutions in the Bitcoin space.
So yes. And we're going to be seeing Bitcoin's price rise, in the coming days, right? A halving event is taking place. So Bitcoin is becoming more scarce. Every 4 years, the mining reward gets cut in half. I believe we are, I'm not sure. I believe it's 6.25 right now per Bitcoin, or we're headed there for each time your computer solves a math problem, which is essentially mining Bitcoin in the circulation. So the scarcity also causes the price and value of Bitcoin to scale up. But now we're seeing BlackRock, Franklin Templeton, and several other large institutions, Wells Fargo's also about to join the party. They are securing Bitcoin through the Bitcoin Spot ETF, which the Wall Street endorsement is huge for Bitcoin. I got into Bitcoin for specific reasons that, my ideology, which was the people's currency and being decentralized and the opportunity for us to disintermediate the banking institutions. But now here we are. I'm seeing a lot of people celebrate the entry of these large institutions. But I mean, the amount of Bitcoin that they're buying on a daily basis melts your face. And you're seeing the price movement coincide with those purchases as well. So, okay, what can this mean? There are only 21 million Bitcoin that will ever be mined by the year 2140. It's currently 2024 and we have 19 million Bitcoin, 19 million plus Bitcoin in circulation. An estimated 6 to 7, probably more, million Bitcoin is lost forever because people got into Bitcoin very early, forgot their passphrases, right? No longer used those computers that they secured their Bitcoin with. So they have no access. So essentially, I'm looking at the potential of what, maybe 12, 13 million Bitcoin really available to the entire world. And we're seeing the large institutions eat through this on a daily basis. What does that mean for the future of Bitcoin? Really, only a handful of people will be able to own Bitcoin. The inscriptions, if you make the right bet, can actually help expedite your allocation or the amount of Bitcoin you'll be able to secure by the end of all of this. But I'm seeing a major push from top down in taking over this new asset class. And I think sometime in the near future, you'll most likely start seeing government settle debt in Bitcoin as we transition into this digital future. Post-COVID, you start seeing barcode scans pop up all over your restaurants.
Yep.
And essentially, that's how you send and receive crypto, Bitcoin. So we're seeing a push for central bank digital currencies that are going to be coming down the pike. And that's a mandate from the Bank for International Settlements, the central bank of all central banks. Some central banks have already rolled this out. I know they've done so in Jamaica. I'm Jamaican. So that's coming down the pike. And what that also means is governments in the future will be able to track your digital spend down to the minute decimal fraction of a spend on their private ledger. So what does that mean for autonomy and also the ability for one to just be sovereign, a sovereign citizen, or sovereign person? It's going to be a little bit harder moving forward. And this is all fiat, the CBDCs. So the value is no longer there since 1971. I'm a bit dumbfounded because we're moving into this digital world, and Bitcoin was supposed to be that potential savior, right, in the peer-to-peer economy. But now it's being taken over by centralized entities before this central or decentralized opportunity goes live. We only have a few more years before a potential takeover takes place.
We are in the beginning of another Bitcoin cycle. Many listeners and viewers have reached out to me asking me how they can safely buy, secure, and store Bitcoin and how they can set up an automated Bitcoin savings account. I've used Swan Bitcoin to dollar cost average throughout the entire Bitcoin cycle with an automated Bitcoin savings account. You can start your Bitcoin savings account
at www.swanbitcoin.com/cashflowninja and get $10 free in Bitcoin. For someone that is values freedom, sovereignty, and living and leaving a legacy, you're going to be put through an obstacle course pretty soon. It's not going to, to have the outcomes and of those targets and living that in your life is going to be harder and harder, as you just very, very eloquently put. I mean, what's happening and unfolding where things are coming right from the top, the Bank of International Settlements. You can find all this stuff on their website with the central bank digital currencies, which is basically, I look at it as fiat token or coupon, fiat coupons. It's a coupon. Yeah, because they're going to expire too. So it's maximum control, a completely different world that, you know, listeners and viewers of this show envision and want to live in. So you're going to be put through an obstacle course if you want to have freedom in your life, have sovereignty, and live and leave a legacy. So there's some very, very interesting stuff coming up. I want to touch briefly. You had mentioned decentralized AI. What's going on in that space, and then how is that playing out the decentralized, because we have centralized AI everywhere. And I mean, we can record a separate podcast just on AI and what's going on there. But just a quick comment on AI and decentralized AI and what you're up to.
Yes. So once again, Ort, this is being led by Dr. Max Lee, professor at Columbia University. Brilliant idea, because as we see coming down the pike, once again, more top-down narrative. So you've got centralized AIs. Let's take a look at ChatGPT, OpenAI, which Elon Musk quips should be closed AI. So it used to be a non-profit, but now it's a for-profit, and the billions of spend by private companies or the institutions in general that are being allocated towards centralized AI is amazing. A lot of black box on the training algorithms. So we don't know what data sets are being used to train these AI. And if we take a look at Google and Meta, these are some of the leaders in this AI narrative. And the two are essentially, they're there for advertising, right? So how is that going to affect us in the future? Are they building a benevolent AI? That's questionable at this moment. So what we are looking at is actually decentralizing AI, making this the opportunity where people across the world in a distributed fashion that can connect to the Ort cloud, Ort chain, by phone, PC, tablet, to help us train the AI and participate in this new economy. So we can distribute the access to AI, making it more decentralized, more so like the internet compared to the intranet, which I'm thinking is probably going to be the centralized AI, right? So the more people we can get to participate in our decentralized rollout, the more robust and resilient our infrastructure, the AI would be. For instance, and I love using this analogy or example, when you're on Instagram or Facebook, you're actually on what we now call DPIN, right? Decentralized Physical Infrastructure Network, because you're using your cell phone to actually upload information, data about yourself. You are providing consent by doing so, but you don't know how that data is being utilized. Finally, we are now giving data sovereignty back to the end user so they can be incentivized, or they can actually see how the AI is being trained, and they are now participants in this entire ecosystem. So yeah, very early stage. I believe we have a couple years to actually get decentralized AI out to the public. It's either that or the centralized AI takeover is going to be here for sure.
Yep.
Especially because of the robust financial resources that they have. However, I believe the community, the people actually make up for that. So bringing people together to build out our infrastructure is huge for us.
Awesome. Awesome. One question that I ask every single person that's been on our show for the first time is more to do with leaving a legacy. We talk a lot about business. We talk about investing. But I want to bring some legacy into this too. So I always ask, if you cannot pass on any capital or money or bitcoins to future generations, and you are only allowed to pass on three principles to them to build wealth and achieve happiness and success, what would they be?
Wow. Very interesting. Okay. So one, I would say read and learn something new every day. Yeah, that compounds. Two, whatever you do for yourself, you can only take with you. But what you do for others, that's your legacy. So try to help someone on a daily basis. And three, try to be as present as possible. Everything that you do happens in the present, even though what I just said took place in the past. So it's being present at all times. You combine those three in your lifestyle, you can't lose.
Those are fantastic. Really appreciate that. Michael, where can people follow you? Where can they stay informed of all of the many projects that you're involved in?
Oh, yeah. So you can follow me at Orchir, O-O-Art, O-O-R-T-C-H-A-I-R on Twitter. And you can follow us on Ort Official. That's our official Twitter handle. Yeah, so Twitter, Telegram, I'm at Bleeker8, Bleeker8 on Telegram. As you know, a lot of crypto and Web3 is done on Telegram. So yeah, I am very accessible. Actually, I'm in New York at the moment. Very little sleep because a lot of traveling, and I'm here now for NFT NYC. So we'll be out and about. Please feel free to reach out, DM me. I do reply. And on the 15th of April, myself and the Ort team will be in Dubai for Token 2049.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on, my friend, and just providing so much value for my listeners and my viewers. Always a pleasure to speak with you and just learning your insights and what you have to share. So appreciate you and thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for inviting me, MC. I'm glad I was able to share a little bit. I'm just really thankful that you gave me this opportunity to share. So thank you once again.
Thank you to all of my listeners and viewers for again spending your most valuable resource, your time, once again with me. Everything Cashflow Ninja is at cashflowninja.com. Books, podcasts, webinars, and you can sign up for the best weekly newsletter in the alternative wealth strategy and alternative asset investment space, the Wealth Dojo. Until next time, live infinitely. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals.
and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objectives, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.